Welcome back to the ACC. Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you. The Raptors tonight losing to the Charlotte Bobcats. 98-91, the final. We're going to open up the phone lines, folks, till 11 o'clock tonight. Almost an hour and a half to chat. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. 98-91, the Toronto Raptors losing to the Charlotte Bobcats. Charlotte snaps its 16-game losing streak. They hadn't won a ball game since January 14th, more than a month. And they walk into the ACC and finally get off the schneid, shooting 50% from the floor. And again, winning by seven. Their largest lead of the game was eight. They were up two at the half. The Raptors actually came back to take a one-point lead heading into the fourth. But late third, early fourth, the Bobcats went on a 13-2 run to rip control of this game, take the lead back, and never look back, as again they win 98-91. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. DeMar DeRozan tonight with 24 points in the ball game, but 18 of the 24 came in the first half. In fact, 13 of the 24 came in the first quarter. So much quieter in the second half of the ballgame for DeMar DeRozan. He was playing in foul trouble for a little bit of the time, but still at the end of the day, played 32 minutes in the ballgame and managed only 6 points in the second half. The Raptors couldn't seem to get the offense cooking all evening, not consistently at least. They shot a hair under 42% on the game, and they allow the Bobcats to shoot 50. And here's the issue with this game specifically as well. Even forget about the 16-game losing streak coming to an end tonight, etc. You heard Jonesy and I talk a little bit about it right towards the end of the game. Toronto is top 10 in the NBA in opponents' field goal percentage. For all the folks that say the Raptors haven't improved defensively, you don't know what you're talking about. Statistically speaking, it's right proof right there in the pudding. They are top 10 in the NBA in opponents' field goal percentage. But tonight, against the 29th ranked offense, at least based on field goal percentage, Charlotte comes in 29th in the league, sitting in the low 40s, like just over 40, I believe. They shoot 50%, a dead even 50% against the Raptors. And Toronto loses by 7, 98-91. Jonesy is going to join me in a couple of moments. He's still making his way up through the stands. And we will take your calls right up to 11 at 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. And we will start with the calls right now as we go out west to Dave in Vancouver. Go ahead, you're on Sportsnet 590, the fan. Nights, almost an hour and a half to chat. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. 98-91, the Toronto Raptors losing to the Charlotte Bobcats. Charlotte snaps its 16-game losing streak. They hadn't won a ball game since January 14th, more than a month. And they walk into the ACC and finally get off the schneid, shooting 50% from the floor. And again, winning by seven. Their largest lead of the game was eight. They were up two at the half. The Raptors actually came back to take a one-point lead heading into the fourth. But late third, early fourth, the Bobcats went on a 13-2 run to rip control of this game, take the lead back, and never look back, as again, they win 98-91. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. DeMar DeRozan tonight with 24 points in the ball game, but 18 of the 24 came in the first half. In fact, 13 of the 24 came in the first quarter. So much quieter in the second half of the ballgame for DeMar DeRozan. He was playing in foul trouble for a little bit of the time, but still at the end of the day, played 32 minutes in the ballgame and managed only 6 points in the second half. The Raptors couldn't seem to get the offense cooking all evening, not consistently at least. They shot a hair under 42% on the game, and they allow the Bobcats to shoot 50. And here's the issue with this game specifically as well. Even forget about the 16-game losing streak coming to an end tonight, etc. You heard Jonesy and I talk a little bit about it right towards the end of the game. Toronto is top 10 in the NBA in opponents' field goal percentage. For all the folks that say the Raptors haven't improved defensively, you don't know what you're talking about. Statistically speaking, it's right proof right there in the pudding. They are top 10 in the NBA in opponents' field goal percentage. But tonight, against the 29th ranked offense, at least based on field goal percentage, Charlotte comes in 29th in the league, sitting in the low 40s, like just over 40, I believe. They shoot 50%, a dead even 50% against the Raptors. And Toronto loses by 7, 98-91. Jonesy is going to join me in a couple of moments. He's still making his way up through the stands. And we will take your calls right up to 11 at 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. And we will start with the calls right now as we go out west to Dave in Vancouver. Go ahead, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Well, guys, I just think it's going to be a long weekend for Toronto sports fans. I shudder tomorrow night with the Leafs against that Canucks team. But, you know, this is, I think, a team that's wearing down with the injuries, the schedule. And, you know, I mean, Charlotte, every dog's going to have its day in the sun. But what a pathetic job Michael Jordan's done putting that monstrosity of a team together and so on. And I guess what really kind of bothers, you know, people say, well, they could tank, you know, they could even finish behind Charlotte. But there really isn't any superstar in this draft. I mean, people are pointing out there isn't a point guard to about the 15th player. I mean, there's, you know, there's no Jim Rules. There's no Tim Duncan. And, you know, the bottom line is I got to watch tonight the guy that I would have drafted, a winner, a thinker, a guy that carried his team on his back to the NCAA championship and showed why he's going to be a great player in the NBA and also be a point guard that you can build your team around. And I'm, of course, referring to Kemba Walker. You know, what a great defensive play he made late in the game.
On Barbosa.
When he stripped the ball by Barbosa. But mind you, that was Barbosa. So let me ask you a question. Is there a more selfish player in the league than Barbosa? Four times late in the game, he either took a pathetic shot or lost the ball. I mean, I'm sorry. At that point, Casey, put him on the bench. If he isn't going to pass the ball, you're going to blow games like that. That was Bush. But as I say, Walker's going to be a great player. Look, they'll get a high draft pick. Supposedly, the great, you know, 7-foot savior is going to be coming over. Hopefully, he will be. So, but right now, for Raptor fans, it's pretty frustrating. We're going through this year. You know, it's like going to the dentist. Eventually, the appointment's going to be over, and we can get on to the draft.
All right, Dave, appreciate the phone call from out west, as always. The one thing I would take a little bit of an exception to, and I hear where you're coming from with Barbosa, but I'm going to give Kemba Walker more credit for his defense than maybe slam Barbosa for selfishness, because both of those plays were arguably the fastest guy on the floor, and I now say arguably because Kemba Walker kept up with him twice
and
made two strong defensive plays. So arguably one of the top five, top 10 speedsters in the NBA, driving essentially one-on-one coverage to the hoop, that's normally a layup.
For Barbosa, it is.
So I don't call that a selfish play. I call that a strong play, a smart play, a high-percentage play that he got burned on twice by a better defensive play by a young player who read the mail, read the scouting report, and used his own speed and skills and quick hands to get in there, take that ball away, knock that ball away, pester Barbosa. I don't have a problem with that overall, Dave, so I would take exception with that. But otherwise, I hear where you're coming from, and no doubt, I'm sure this is a frustrating one for a lot of folks. And this is interesting. We've got a lot of time to talk tonight, Jonesy, so I want to throw this out to some folks as well, because I kind of come from, and I think I speak for both of us, from the can't have your cake and eat it too mentality and school of thought.
I know where you're going.
When you've got tight games, entertaining games, close games that ultimately result in losses, and we hear from some, not all, I don't know what the split is, 50-50, 60-40, 40-60, I don't know what it is. But when we hear from folks after those tight games, close games, but then losses, no problem. We want to lose anyways. Tank Nation, let's go. More ping pong balls, better pick, all about the draft. What do you think tonight then? When a team with a 16-game losing streak comes into your building and shoots 50% and beats you. The only way you could argue against this not being good for your Tank Nation mentality is if you say, well, no. What I want is an entertaining game, a close game, but in the end a loss. Well, okay, for argument's sake, you got that tonight. Your team was winning going into the fourth quarter, came down to 3-4 points in the final minute. You got that game. But how does it feel seeing a 16-game losing streak snapped against your team in your joint? You still firmly implanted in Tank Nation?
Well, here's the thing for those members of Tank City or Tank Nation.
Against the city, it's Nation.
Tank Nation. Against the Lakers, against the Knicks, against the Spurs, then it's like, well, you know, those are good teams. Those are playoff caliber teams. We're coming. It's okay. It's a close loss. We're coming. Well, if you're coming and you're getting better and things are indeed changing, then should you not beat a team that has won?
You shouldn't be playing down to the level.
Thank you. So, obviously, it hasn't. And that's where you can, to me, you poke holes in the theory. And a win tonight does more for their confidence. This loss tonight, it's a tough one to swallow. I don't care about ping pong balls. It is a tough loss for those guys to swallow. It's a tough loss for the coaching staff. They'll shake it off. They'll get past it. But it's still an L at the end of the day that's registered, and you can't change it now, and that hurts.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Ross and Markham, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, Cool and Smooth. It's Ross again.
Hey, wait, hold on.
Ross, where have you been
for
2 years?
Two, three years, and then you've shown up two straight shows.
Well, I know. I'm going to be coming one game this year, and you'll see a bag over my head because this team is. I hope Brian Colangelo is happy. He's turned a once proud team that was going to the playoffs into a team like this.
Ross, you better be careful with that paper bag. Last time you did that, you got accosted by the police because they thought that you were coming after me. You were like some hitman or something at the ACC.
No, I'll be coming with a friend, and I'll make sure he's got a bag on his head too.
Just cut out the eye holes or something so people know who you are.
Okay. Ross, you're not driving the bus for Tank Nation, are you?
Listen, I'm not driving the bus for Tank Nation, but I'm calling them the worst team in the NBA. When you lose to New Jersey at home, lose to Charlotte at home, and lose twice to Washington, can you even call yourself an NBA team? I mean, they're the worst team in the NBA, and I hope Brian Colangelo is happy because they were in the playoffs, and now I don't see a bright future for this team for years. I'm sorry to say that, but I'm being honest here, and I don't know. I just hope that this guy that he got for the project for the pick this year is what he's expecting. But well, Brian Colangelo's brought nothing to the team for years, and, you know, I don't know. I'm really upset.
All right, Ross, appreciate the phone call. No doubt a lot of people upset at this point, Jonesy, and you start looking ahead to Valanciunas next year. You look ahead to a pick, but hey, you still got 30 games to go.
Yeah.
You got a long season ahead of you. And Ross makes the point about not just the record, but the home record specifically and those that have come into your building. And it's a fair point when you think about who has come in here and who has come in here and handed the Raptors a loss is what I'm trying to say. And the fact that you're not protecting your home floor, because it wasn't that long ago that this was a difficult place to play, and the Raptors might have had their issues on the road, but they generally played fairly well in this building. It didn't necessarily happen last year, and it's certainly not happening this year to this point either.
4-11 at home. And like I said, tonight I'm sure people looked at Charlotte, and I wouldn't say, look, there's no night in the NBA when you are supposed to win because everybody's an NBA player. And the chemistry, the teamwork, injuries, whatever, they play into it. They're variables in the equation, and there's no night that you're supposed to win. But you would look at most recent efforts and say, if Toronto gets an effort like they did against New York, against Boston, against the Lakers, against San Antonio, you would expect that on home court, with that kind of effort, they could get a win against Charlotte. Look, and give Charlotte some credit too. I mean, they did a nice job making plays defensively, picking on mismatches, getting the ball to the right people at the right time. So give them credit, too. Hey, they're NBA players as well. So the word that I can that comes to mind for me is disheartening when you think about the loss for the players and the coaching staff.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590. Star 590 on your cell. Bobo in Oshawa. Go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
How are you guys doing? Hey, listen, I just want to tell that last caller, they didn't look like the worst team in the NBA against the Lakers last
or the Knicks day. Or the Spurs
exactly,
or the Celtics.
Right? Like, I want to throw it out there. Like, I just want to throw it to the team, like, just, you know, play defense and then just go have a good time. You guys are young. We're going to get a good draft pick this year. Like obviously, we're not going to win the championship this year. We're not going to win it next year. Like, everybody just has to, like, relax, you know? Like, you know what I'm trying to say?
We do. We do.
Exactly. Like, dude, I don't even watch the games because we got Bell, but we only have, like, the $20 Bell.
So here's the thing, though.
I listen to you guys on my radio, right? That's it. Like, come on. I moved from Curtis to Oshawa, so I've kind of upgraded, but not really. But
Bobo, thanks for the call, man. Look, here's the thing. I hear where you're coming from when you say people need to relax. The biggest issue is seeing the development, and I think that's what has people upset. Not the fact that, you know, they're losing, because some people obviously want that. They want a high draft pick, and we got into this. We talked about this last night after we got off the air with the Hoop Show. You look at some of the names of some of the guys that were drafted. LeBron James took him till his third year. He had 2 years of no playoffs before they built people around him to get to the playoffs. Dwayne Wade, same thing. Now, Carmelo Anthony, before people go running, the year that he came into the NBA, the Nuggets made some moves. They picked up, Andre Miller, Marcus Camby was there. So no matter who you get next year, and again, it's a young guy, that one guy is not going to turn things around. He may be a guy down the road that develops into a terrific player, but there are other things that you need to put in place. It can't just fall on the shoulders of one kid you're going to draft next year. It can't. That's why you need to see the development of the guys this year. DeRozan, Davis.
I think you've seen the team develop defensively, but
yes.
You could argue, and we can talk about this over the course of the next hour, that you're not seeing enough development in the all-round game of your two youngest players and your last two draft picks in DeMar DeRozan and in Ed Davis. You need to see more from those guys. And I think that's maybe where some of the frustration comes from.
Yep.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. If you're on the line, stay there. We'll be with you in just a couple of minutes. We're going to get the 10 o'clock sports update, then come right back to you. And if you want to join the conversation, a couple lines open to get in on the wrap as Toronto loses tonight, 98-91 on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back to the wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Paul Jones, Eric Smith with you here till 11 o'clock tonight. We'll get reaction from the Raptors locker room coming up a little bit later on. I can imagine it's not going to be good reaction as Toronto loses tonight to the Charlotte Bobcats, 98-91. The Bobcats come to town, shoot 50% from the floor, led by the 22 points of Reggie Williams. Kemba Walker, a man that many folks thought had a shot to be in a Raptor uniform, finished with 14 points, 8 assists, 1 turnover, 3 rebounds, a couple of steals on 5 of 15 from the floor. Another guy that the Raptors had their eyes on at one point, but ultimately decided to go with Valanciunas with the 5th pick, and he'll be coming over next year. Bismack Biyombo, 13 rebounds, 8 points, 7 blocks in the ball game, and he was active and pestering things all night for the Bobcats as Toronto. You could see all evening, Jonesy. They were feeling it and thinking about it, coming down low and sensing the presence, of Bismack Biyombo.
7 blocks, and as you said, how many countless shots changed, altered with the presence or knowing that he would be there? He was pretty good tonight. I mean, look, his offensive game is nowhere.
It's raw. Beyond raw.
That's a nice compliment. I mean, he's good on the stick back, and first thing you start with maybe a screen and roll. Like, who knows?
He got 8 points off putbacks and just kind of being around the hoop.
There you go. And like I said, I liked what I saw from Kemba Walker. I thought he showed some explosiveness. But then again, you know, here it is, the argument. The guy stayed in school for 4 years. He understands how to play. He's had his backside chewed by a Hall of Fame coach, Jim Calhoun, for 4 years. So this, I'm not surprised. And this is how the league used to be all the time. Hashtag get off my lawn, right? Guys play 3-4 years at good programs, Connecticut, Duke, North Carolina, Arizona, UCLA, and they come into the league with a foundation, and that's what Kemba Walker has. So there's part of me that's not surprised, but it was good to see him live and see his ability, see what he could do in a live setting.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Andy in Toronto, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, Andy. Thanks.
Okay, I don't know. My question is, where do you go from, like, I'm a fan, I'm a Toronto fan, sports fan, I'm just a Toronto fan, period. Where do you go from here with this team? I mean, statistically on paper, we didn't really expect much from these guys coming to the season, a whole change in culture. But, I mean, after playing your tails off for 3 straight games, and now, like you guys point out, a dismal performance tonight here in front of our home crowd, like, where do you go from here? Like, Andrea's been out. I'm pretty sure had he been in the lineup for a bunch of these games, we would probably be clinging to the 8th seed right now. But given the circumstance, doesn't seem like his calf's getting any better for any time soon. What do you do with this team? Like, there's obviously you don't play to lose in the NBA, but, I mean, figuratively speaking, what do you do? Like, is this really going – is this the Tank Nation for real? Like, I'm hearing this Tank Nation. I believe in playing every game to win it, but, I mean, like – things aren't looking good right now.
I'm with you. Thanks for the call. I'm with you. I believe you play to win, and I think you do exactly what Dwayne Casey is doing right now. You play people. You evaluate skill sets. What do guys need to work on? Before you finish building, you find out what parts are good. You don't throw everything out. Like I said last year, find out who can play. The first time you throw out a plastic bag, 30 seconds later you say, boy, I wish I had a plastic bag. Find out what a guy can do, what role he can fill, and then try to put some of the other pieces in place knowing that, well, whatever role I need in that instance, this guy can take care of it. So I think it's about development, John. I really do, and something that you have to continue to work on, have guys improve. But it's about development right now, especially with the team, being where they sit right now at 9-23.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Again, the Raptors tonight losing 98-91 to the Charlotte Bobcats. We're going to Mike in Pickering. Go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Mike.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Mike?
In light of the fact that it's pretty clear the Raptors are going to have a very high draft choice this year, I'd like to respectfully disagree with your first caller. I think it was Dave from out west with his comment that there's no stars in the draft. It's actually, I think, the polar opposite. I think this is
a lot of them.
More so this year than any other year.
Absolutely. One of the deepest drafts in a long time, obviously, because of the potential for the strike last year. Anthony Davis, who's almost certainly going to go number one overall from Kentucky, is, you know, could be a defensive player of the year in his first 2 or 3 years. So, I mean, probably they're not going to get the number one pick, but I mean, if you imagine him with Valanciunas, if he's as good as everyone says he is, that would be quite the front line. But I want to talk about guys, I mean, someone more realistic who the Raptors could be able to draft if they come, say, 3rd through 5th last. Is Harrison Barnes. I mean, from North Carolina. To me, he's the perfect guy. A big shooting guard who has great offense. Kind of, he reminds me a little bit of Carmelo Anthony, and he can score off the dribble and make his own shot. And I think he'd be a perfect fit for the Raps because he'd bring in instant offense. So I'd just like to get your thoughts on that.
All right, Mike, appreciate the phone call. And that's a guy that, Jonesy, we've been talking a lot about. And that's
his name
where,
comes up.
Well,
huh?
that's where I guess you start asking the question. And I mean, again, 30-plus games to go. Who knows where they end up selecting? I mean, ask the Cleveland Cavaliers. Again, if they don't make that trade, think about this.
The Clippers.
And who knows what would have gone down, okay? Who knows what might have happened in the offseason? If the Clippers don't make that deal, right, they've got the number one pick. Do they take Kyrie Irving? If they take Kyrie Irving, are they even in the running at that point for Chris Paul? And for David Stern to basically pooch the Lakers and hand Chris Paul to the Clippers. And if Chris Paul doesn't go to the Clippers and Kyrie Irving is there, they're still going to be pretty darn good with Kyrie Irving and Blake Griffin. But are they going to be this good? Are they going to be a playoff team this year? Or is it going to take them another year or two? But as it turns out, Cleveland, their pick, with all the balls they had in that machine, bounces out the four pick.
Yep.
It was the Clippers pick that gave them the number four and gave them two of the top five. But just think about that dilemma and that dynamic. And it plays into your theory as well of how many years on average maybe it takes to get good. And would Blake Griffin and the Clippers specifically as a team be this good this quick with Kyrie Irving and not with Chris Paul? Now, we'll touch on that in a second. To go back to the original question,
okay.
That's why I bring up who knows what's actually going to happen. Who knows how it might ultimately unfold with where they pick. I don't know if you can sit here and talk about drafting for potential or drafting for best player or drafting for position at this point with 30-plus games to go and not knowing where you're selecting. If you had the number one pick, Mike, would you select Harrison Barnes if you're the Raptors? I don't think so, but again, you still got a month left in the college season. You got the tournament to come. He might blow everybody's socks off and vault himself into that number one slot, or he might do so in his pre-draft workouts when the team see him and say, yeah, he is the consensus. As of right now, February 17th, I wouldn't take him number one, but if I'm sitting at three or four and he's still on the board, would I be upset about that selection? Absolutely not. And would he fit with what the Raptors need, Jonesy?
Yeah.
An athletic wing that can score? Absolutely.
Clippers are going to be in the playoffs this year, and I don't think they would have, because it's not just the one pick. All right, yeah, they got rid of the pick, and, you know, look what they got. But, hey, the Chris Paul trade, Chauncey Billups on amnesty, Caron Butler as a free agent, the Mo Williams deal last year, all those pieces have come together, and now Blake Griffin looks like he's going to hit the playoffs in his second year. And not that Blake Griffin's not a terrific player, but he's got a lot of help. If he had a rookie point guard running that offense, no chance they are where they are. Chris Paul is a seasoned guy. He's been in the league. He understands it. It's totally different. As you said, the dynamic because of who it is.
416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Jordan in Burlington, you're on Sportsnet 590. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good, Jordan.
I just want to say, like, I think the thing that frustrates me the most is everybody that calls in expecting more than what the team was going to give us in the first place. When the season started, nobody gave our team any credit. They all thought we were going to end up at the bottom of the league anyways. So, you know, we started out, Dwayne Casey came in, implemented some great defense, did a great job with Bargnani, and they were pretty much playing out of their minds. Bargnani was playing fantastic. Bayless was playing his role. Everybody was doing well, giving 100% effort, and we won probably more games than we should have. Than people thought we were going to win, let's say. And we've been hammered with injuries, and now all this pressure goes on young guys like Ed Davis, DeMar DeRozan, and guys that, you know, realistically on championship caliber teams are, you know, maybe second, probably third options. And they're trying to run the team. I mean, in my opinion, we're basically where we should be. So, you know, you got to look to the future. You got to look for those, you know, those close games against New York, games against Boston, you know, and see the light in the darkness kind of thing. And just, you know, we all kind of expected that. So, I mean, at the end of the day, when the season's over, you just got to, you know, suck it up. This game tonight, I didn't even watch. How many times have we played the Bobcats, and they match up pretty perfectly against us, you know, like you were saying, with mismatches, Gerald Wallace, Boris Diaw, Kemba Walker, all that. You knew it was going to be an athletic game. It was going to be up and down, and there was a good chance it was going to be closer. They were going to lose. So, in my opinion, I agree with that. One of those last callers there with the draft coming up being great. We got Valanciunas coming over. He's winning all sorts of accolades over in Europe there. And, I mean, that's a lot of pressure put on him too. But, I mean, I think we're in the right direction. And I think the outlook's good. I just think people need to I'll say hashtag chill out.
But
you just need to sit with it. It's tough for the players to take, but, I mean, it's kind of what we expected. That's what everybody said before the season started. So I don't know when it's actually happening, why it's such a problem, right? So, anyways, for me, the outlook's good. I think we got lots of cap space, expiring contracts. Valanciunas coming over. Bargnani's playing his head off. And I don't know. I'm really excited for the next couple of years of this team. I think it's going to be good.
Appreciate the phone call.
There's a positive outlook, and that's, I mean, that's good perspective. You have to look at it that way. This is the start of something. It's the building point. And for the caller that asked, what do? You continue on the development track and try to get pieces that develop and get better, and then find what you can to fill in. And I, as I always say, and Eric, we both say this, winning is never a bad thing, because if you win, it, you heard JYD, a guy who played in the league, from a player's point of view, you might have a better chance at attracting a free agent, a young free agent who can help you get down the road a little bit quicker if you're winning, as opposed to, well, we're just trying to do this thing with high draft picks all the way. You need a few wins sprinkled in there to keep them engaged and keep things moving in the right direction.
And if you missed it, that was our conversation that we had a couple of nights ago with Jerome Williams when he was on our postgame show and simply talking about the fact that, yeah, you need to, as you say, not only keep them engaged, but then when you start looking at the free agent perspective, guys will look at where a team is at and if they're on the rise or not, and really start picking and choosing between, he brought up the example, a Washington versus a Toronto. It might only be a differential of a couple of wins, but what pieces do they have in place in terms of their young players? Do I think those young players are better than those young players, and thus I'm going to head to that team instead of that team? And it all starts playing in.
Yeah.
And then you don't want to get caught in the sort of boat where you're overpaying. You're going to have to probably overpay a little bit because you're a losing team or a team that's lost for a few years who's trying to get better, but you don't want to vastly overpay because
it throws your cap out of whack.
It throws your cap out of whack. I mean, let me mention that as well, Jonesy. And I'm not saying this just for Brian Colangelo. I'm saying this for any general manager. You mentioned Caron Butler. The Clippers gambled and won. It could have easily gone the other way. And I don't know Caron Butler personally. I've talked to him a couple of times. Seems like a stand-up dude. Has a great story in terms of where he came from and his family and in the league and everything that he's battled through and all that. But the injury last year, and then on the free agent market, the worst possible time, coming off season-ending surgery, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And who knows how the knee's going to respond, if it ever does, to the level that it once was. And he gets $7 million per for 3 years. He still gets $20 million. He could have fallen flat on his face. So far, he hasn't.
Yeah.
So it looks pretty good. But if you're Toronto, Brian Colangelo goes out and says, I just signed Caron Butler. How many people would have been saying, whoa, guy just came off surgery.
Yeah.
You get him $7 million per? And then he doesn't perform. Well, now the general manager doesn't know what he's doing. But the Clippers, as you laid it out, they got the gift of the trade that they never should have got. They get an amnesty guy at a cheap rate who unfortunately now is done for the year and maybe done for his career. They get a guy coming off surgery that they gamble on and probably overpay for, but so far he's living up to that money, and it's all kind of working right now. I mean, they had to match an offer for Jordan just to keep him around, to probably overpay in a sense to keep him. So it's all working out right now, and good for them, because if they are a winning team, it will continue to
it
work out
matter,
for many
right.
years to come.
Right, and now they're a destination, right? Dwight Howard says,
and
yeah.
And for 30 years they weren't. L.A.
Yeah, so now Dwight Howard says, well, yeah, I'd play for them. Things have a funny way of working out.
Steve, Ed, many more. You're on the line. Stay there. We're going to get to you if you want to join the conversation. A couple lines open at 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Raptors losing to the Bobcats tonight, 98-91. It's The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Oh,
boy.
Gotta love it. Jack, if you're driving home and you heard that means you have to call us. That's the bat signal.
Yep, Jack.
Matt, same with you. I know you're listening. That's the bat signal. You gotta call in.
You've got the bat phone. You got the bat line, boys. Use it. But everybody else, unfortunately, 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. It was fan night at the ACC. Naughty by Nature was here. We just saw them coming out of Real Sports about 10 minutes ago. Sugar Hill Gang was in
Master
town as
G,
well.
The dude with the walking stick.
Yeah,
that was Master G.
I can't believe though. I mean, I was fairly happy with the halftime performance of Naughty by Nature, but man, pull the Sugar Hill Gang out.
I know.
With you.
Like, shout him out in the house. This is not like East Coast, West Coast where guys are gunning guys down. Call him out.
And then like,
bring him out.
Here's where I get, and listen, we know most of the people that do this stuff, so I'm not tossing anybody under the bus. I'm just saying I don't have the opportunity to give my ideas during the broadcast. I'm busy working. But you've got the Sugar Hill Gang right there, let alone Naughty by Nature, but you got Sugar Hill Gang right there, and they did at least, what, two separate dance contests or something. Play
Sugar Hill Gang. I know. Get them out there to do it.
Like, use their music.
Get them out there to do it. Get them to do the song while they're... Anyway, let's go back to the calls.
Steve in Richmond Hill. Go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Steve.
Hey, guys. Glad to hear you're laughing there after tonight's performance.
That's all you can do, Steve.
my comment is, I guess my concern is I have no... I understand what's going on this year, but my concern is that... It's becoming more of a culture of losing, especially, you know, with DeRozan. I see more and more his body language is more and more accepting of losing. And, you know, it seems to me some of the other players, like Calderon, that's been here a while, he's accepted that for a long time. But, you know, I'm seeing it more and more that it's expected that something's going to happen or break down and they're going to lose. And I think that culture, that mentality is really starting to permeate, especially the young guys, more and more. And that really concerns me moving forward. Certainly, a lot of the guys will be gone next year where there's going to be a different outlook, but just having that mentality, we've got to do something to change that. And I think certainly going forward in the next 10 days, they've got one game or what is it, or one or two games. I think there's a good opportunity for them to maybe sort of take a look and maybe make some changes and tighten things up, because the way it's going right now, long-term for the young core of the team, it just concerns me that it's not good.
Steve, appreciate the phone call, Steven, and you echo
a great call.
Everything we talk about.
That is a great call, my friend, and losing creates losing, and it's a losing culture, and Dwayne Casey and, you know, Brian Colangelo, they're trying to turn the culture around. They're doing it with the defense to start with, because that's the basis of a championship team. Get that down first. Hey, look, I'll tell you this. Two separate Raptor players told me in the last, 3 days since the San Antonio game, and here we are Friday, that at some point in the year, they want to have their names mentioned for Defensive Player of the Year or be on an all-defensive team. That's a great place to start. But as Steve said, you need to start winning games to change the perception and to change the culture, or else, as you said, what did you say before the break? You could be the Clippers. 25, 30 years in L.A., more trips to the lottery, I believe, 22 or 23, maybe even 24 trips to the lottery or whatever, and it's not till this year, 2012, they're sitting third overall in the West and people are talking playoffs.
And it took collusion to make it happen. It did.
A conspiracy theorist, hey, come on out.
That's not even a conspiracy theory. It's a legit fact. The commissioner squashed a deal and handed Chris Paul to the Clippers. Period. That's not a conspiracy. It's a fact. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. I'm probably guessing I won't be working for the league anytime. Especially if they're
listening. That makes two of us. It's a good thing they can't find broadcasters. Officials can't hear what we say, or me in particular.
Ed in Toronto, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, Ed.
I got to say, somewhat similar to what Steve was saying, but from a fan perspective, I mean, I appreciate the positive outlook. I appreciate wanting to develop the young guys and getting that culture. But as a fan, you know, we're constantly building, rebuilding. So it just gets a little tiresome. You know, at one point, you got to appreciate yourself and say, you know what, we have a good fan base. We should expect more than just, oh, what's the next pick? What's the next guy? So I'll let you guys talk about that.
All right,
thanks for the call. And you're right. At some point, and this is, I've always said this, and, you know, with all due respect to my colleagues in the baseball world, people are always talking about a kid on the farm. Well, it's great, but eventually that kid on the farm comes up, plays in your system, and he better develop into a winner. You know, I think back to, you know, years when I was a Jays fan, a young Jays fan, and, you know, you hear about names like, you know, Nelson Liriano and all the, like, okay, well, bring him up. Let's get going here. You can only stay down there for so long. And in the basketball sense, it's the same way. You can't always be looking for the next guy. Grab a guy, start to develop, try to move forward with him and see what he has. And you can either use him in a role or he becomes, develops into a star or whatever and get some pieces. If not, move on. And I think this constant always looking, you know, for somebody to come in, looking for a draft pick, not that they aren't important because you need them and you need to pick those guys and develop them. But at the same time, you can't put all this pressure on a kid coming in to develop into a star in 1 or 2 years. It just does not happen.
416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Taking your phone calls right up to 11 o'clock as the Raptors tonight lose to the Charlotte Bobcats. And the Cats snap their 16-game losing streak with a 98-91 victory. And the New York Knicks are about to see their 7-game winning streak come to an end at the hands of the 6-23 New Orleans Hornets. New Orleans is going to walk into MSG and knock off the Knicks, or at least it sure looks like that's going to happen. Again, it might not be quite the now 4-26 Bobcats, but the soon-to-be 6-24 Hornets, who just a few games ago were 4-23, are now going to win 3 in a row and look to knock off the Knicks, as New York will not get above 500. They sit at 500 right now. They will fall back down 1 and see their 7-game losing streak come to an end. Jeremy Lin tonight with a team-high and game-high 26 points to go along with 5 assists, 4 steals, and
turnovers?
9 turnovers.
9 turnovers.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Alex and Barry, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for taking the call again.
You're welcome, Alex.
Thank you. I don't know if you guys recall, but we talked about the infamous five-second call now after the Lakers game almost a week back. And tonight, I just, as much as I love the pre-draft talk about a week before the All-Star game, I wanted to focus on what I feel at least is a little bit more affecting, like the fabric of our game. Tonight, again, with less than a minute to go on the clock, DJ Augustine clearly double dribbles the ball, self-passes to himself. And I'm sitting here scratching my head, frustrated now because I no longer want to watch this game. I'm scratching my head concerned as to why we don't implement something like the NFL, where under 2 minutes, everything questionable will go to the booth, because we're leaving these calls to fall by the wayside due to human error, and we're pretending like we don't have the technology to get the call right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Alex, stay on the line here for a second.
Sure.
What would you do in an instance like that? Because Eric and I called it that way, too. It didn't look right. It looked like a violation, a travel, like you said, a self-pass to make it a walk.
Yeah.
And they end up scoring. So what do you do? What's your procedure? Do you stop the play, review it, and say, no basket?
Thing, well,
like,
yeah.
What do you do?
Exactly. The first thing that came to my mind is just because I'm a huge NFL fan, first thing that I compared in my mind, because that play immediately led to him passing the ball down low and then 2 points going up on the board. So as by NBA rules, now that's said and done. We just move on to the next play, and all we see is Dwayne Casey pleading his case. Needlessly to Joey Crawford, but what was, again, what I thought of was comparing it to a quarterback throwing it to a receiver, let's say for a first down. Call on the field is that the catch is complete, but the opposing coach sees that, hey, maybe that ball hit the ground, and, you know, the replay up top clearly immediately shows, like, hey, maybe that ball hit the ground. So that coach now has the ability to what? Immediately throw a challenge flag on the field. And that's not to say that, you know, that the officials are not doing their job, but that's just to say that they're human, and we're at such a critical juncture of the game, a close game at that, that it's best to get the call right as opposed to leave me, a fan, or any other fan with such a bitter taste in their mouth that I promise you, Paul, I turn the game off.
Appreciate the phone call. And you're not going to get an argument from either one of us.
Yeah,
I really don't think you will. And Jonesy, we talk about the officiating all the time, and this is kind of an age-old argument for any sport, is the technology does exist in every sport now to get it right. And it just really comes down to how much do you want to slow down your sport. Because that's really the only counter argument to it. I can't imagine that there are coaches, athletes, fans that don't want the game called properly, right?
No, you're right.
So and it's at the end of the day, and that's how much was it going to slow down? I mean, that's where I kill baseball guys all the time. Baseball guys, to me, seem to be the worst at rule changes, at playoff changes, whatever it is. Oh, we can't mess with the great pastime. We can't mess with the game. There's too many purists. But to their credit, they've started to tweak some stuff. They tried to speed up the game a bit. Now they're talking about the expansion of the playoffs and adding that extra wild card team and all that stuff, and it's starting to come around. If you can get it right, get it right. If the technology exists to get it right, get it right. As long as it's not slowing down the game to the point where you're adding 20, 30, 40 minutes or something on. If it's a couple minutes here and there, why not?
No, I agree with you. And it's about getting it right. And that's a great point. I mean, but did they do that? Does the NBA get to that point? Now, if that happens in Eastern Conference Final, where a guy makes that and there's a self-pass, and there are oftentimes, and I'll say the NBA, there are times when they come out and they say, yeah, we blew that call. There was a goaltend, and it was Scott Foster, the same guy that made the five-second call that blew the goaltend, and it was in Portland.
Yes.
They come out and they say we're wrong. Okay, well, so what does that do when you say you're wrong? It's not like you can go back and you play the game from that point, or you reverse a call and it changes the outcome of the game. It's kind of like, oh, well, my bad. Well, that doesn't help the coach or the players or the team that lost that game if it comes down to one game for the playoffs or a tiebreaker or something like that. Mm-hmm. I just think there's something that I'd like to see them do, and it's something maybe that should go before the competition committee.
We'll come back with your phone calls. We'll continue right up until 11 o'clock. We'll get reaction from the locker room as well. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. The Raptors losing to the Bobcats, 98-91, and you're listening to The Rap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. See, Derek was just buzzing in her ear saying, you're live. I know we're live. I'm letting it go.
Then boogie said, up, jump the boogie to the boogie to the beat.
See, where was Derek Brandeo tonight?
It's not a test. I'm rapping to the beat.
This is what you need to be playing.
And boy, you're try to move your feet.
Welcome back to The Rap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Paul Jones, like Eric Smith with you. It's Jonesy in the background. If you want to sing it, sing it. Don't just whisper it.
But I met the cat tonight, Master G, Wonder Mike. They were all there.
Why didn't you bring them over onto the post game?
Because they were, like, taking pictures and stuff. I saw the big dude, and right away, I looked at him. I said, at halftime, I'm like, yo, you're Hank, Big Bang Hank, right there. And he started to laugh. Come on.
I still can't believe they didn't pull him out on the floor. It's kind of it's grinding my gears right now.
All I can say is, if you listeners want to see Eric out on the floor doing his thing, you need some beverages.
I'm not gonna lie, he's bang on.
I'm not lying either. I've seen it.
He's bang on.
I've seen it.
Just wait till New Orleans.
Oh boy,
I'll be making my own Sugar Hill Gang.
Should I travel like? Aston, or should I travel like somebody
up
bullpen?
I always get up and do my job.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Even when people look at you and say, whoa, where were you last night or this morning?
Hey, it's the good that we're on radio, right?
Yeah, it's true.
And sometimes the voice just needs a few minutes to get going. That's about it. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590. Star 590 on your cell. They say it puts hair on your chest. I wish it would put hair on my head. Aaron in Toronto. Go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Thanks, guys. I just got a quick rant here on the Raptors tonight.
Rant away.
Let me start off, though, before I get to that, just this could be the beginning of the end of Linsanity. Against the Hornets on their own court without Eric Gordon, 9 turnovers and a nice loss there. Take your little Jeremy Lin keychains, get your jerseys, put them in the top shelf with the Tebow toys. It's time to start losing Lintrest. Now, on to these Raptors about this whole
losing Lintrest. I like that.
You like that? About the whole Raptors with this tank controversy, I'm actually loving it. This game tonight reminds me of a lot of the old games. I'm a true tank commander. I've been there all these years. I remember a game against Miami, some meaningless game when Miami stunk. We found a way to lose that game, ended up being Chris Bosh in the draft. I remember all those terrible games we had before we drafted Vince Carter. If you liked Vince Carter, if you liked Chris Bosh, if you liked all those years, all the fun that they gave us, you got to embrace the tank as well. And Jonesy, the positivity in you is strong, but the nation of tank is stronger. Come join the dark side, Jonesy.
No, no, I'm not joining it, man. I'm fighting.
Little Star Wars shout outs.
And I will say this. If it happens...
That makes you Luke Skywalker, Jonesy.
If it happens, it happens. You know, the tank nation is gaining steam.
Hey, does that mean I'm Han Solo? Because I get all the chicks then, or what?
And I, you know what? When it happens, it happens. And that was the year, and thanks for the call. The game that you were referring to...
Somebody photoshopped that, Jonesy as Luke Skywalker.
...was the last year that... It was the year that the summer that Chris Bosh was drafted. Because what happened was Miami and Toronto, that game, Mike James actually made – was it
Who?
Mike James?
Who?
Mike James. No, Mike James made the shot that – like, I don't know if Miami gave the – like, Riley was like, dude, what are you doing? We're trying to lose. And interesting, Raptors got the fourth pick and took Bosh. Miami got the fifth pick and took Wade.
Do you think it would have gone the other way?
I don't know. They liked Wade. I know in Miami they were bringing him in for like last-minute workouts and stuff. They figured they had their guy, knowing that, you know, LeBron would be gone, Carmelo would be gone, Darko Milicic would be gone. So I think they had their eye on Miami the whole Wade the whole time down in Miami.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go to Lee in Thornhill. Go ahead, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, guys, good show tonight.
Thanks.
I've just been wondering, I think the turnaround for the Raptors has a chance to be pretty quick with a lot of the young assets that we have, especially with Bargnani looking like he could play some D, get some boards, and really put up those points consistently. My real concern is, what do you do when you have what you hope are three starting centers, power forwards on the team? If Valanciunas turns out to be a real player and you think Ed Davis has real potential, I think you flip them to draft. And Bargnani, who can actually play, and even Amir Johnson, what do you do with all those, I guess, genuinely young assets all playing basically the same position?
Thanks for the call. I keep as many as I can for as long as I can until I'm sure – positively sure what they can do, because you also get, look at this year, you get beset by injuries. Guys go down, and that's the way this league works. I mean, you know, you look at the latest phenomenon, Jeremy Lin. He waited his turn. He worked. He waited his turn. Baron Davis couldn't come back. Amari Stoudemire, you know, wasn't in the lineup. All of these things happened, and he got his chance. I had a great conversation. We were in Washington, 2 weeks ago, E? And I went down to talk to Sam Cassell courtside.
Right.
And he talked about some of the young guys with the Raptors, and, you know, they got to keep working, and he likes certain guys and the way they're developing, and this guy shows potential. And he said, just got to tell him, man, keep working, keep working. My first year, I got to Houston, and – They Rudy Tomjanovich came to me and said, look, I got Kenny Smith running the point. I got this cat, Scott Brooks. He's tough. He's going to back him up. You playing well, youngster, but you third. So just sit down there. Stay ready. I'm going to need you. I don't know when.
It's pretty good Sam Cassell pressure, by the way.
But just sit down there, and I'll be with you.
Need a little more horse, though.
And Sam, I'm like, really, Sam? He said, go look at the numbers, dog. I didn't play. And then, boom, somebody gets hurt. Yep. And away you go. So I'm not in a hurry to get rid of those guys right away. Now, if the other guys show that they're durable and they can play and they're healthy, and you have five or six of them, and you can figure you can get by with four, now you've got an asset to move. So for now, and that's a great question, I'm stockpiling assets.
Okay, let's see if we can for a couple of moments here hear from the head coach of the Toronto Raptors. This was about a half hour ago at the arena. And again, the Raptors tonight losing 98-91 to the Charlotte Bobcats. Charlotte snaps its 16-game losing streak in the process. The Raptors have now lost four in a row, falling to 9-23. And here is the head coach of the Raptors, Dwayne Casey.
Dwayne, you've been warned about lack of intensity or focus given the circumstances. You must have been disappointed at
what you got.
Totally disappointed. Our focus in the first half. It started in the first half, and it, you know, lack of transition defense, lack of guarding your yard in a one-on-one situation. I think we went in thinking it was going to be an offensive battle. We get, you know, not guarding our guy, we get our points, and not guard our guy at the other end. So it started in the first half. I think we had three buckets where they just go by us when we're jogging back defensively. And one thing, win, lose, or draw, the one thing we got to do is establish a culture, maintain a culture, and just because you talk about it doesn't mean it's going to stay that way. So our that's why I was disappointed, is we're you know, we can't let our culture erode by not coming out and performing each and every night.
DeMar was so aggressive in the first half. How much did the foul trouble in the second kind of
hurt? It took him out. I mean, he got in foul trouble. It took him out. He was trying to be aggressive with Reggie Williams. And got in foul trouble. I mean, and that kind of took his momentum away from him because he had it going pretty well. And, that happens. But, again, it was on all of us. You know, defensively, we just, we allow them to come in, no matter who it is, come in and shoot 50%. That's not a defensive focus.
Their two little guards in that fourth quarter sort of gave you guys a little bit of trouble for multiple mm-hmm. screen rolls. Just, again, Biggs not helping.
Well, you know, it's a little bit of everything. Biggs not – we were blitzing a few times to get the ball out of our hands, and, it was a little bit of both, Biggs and Smalls. I haven't seen the film yet, but they're quick. But, again, it didn't start in the second half, Doug. It started in the first half. Our lack of focus, our lack of – attention to detail or whatever it is, we didn't have the same thrust as we had in our previous three games.
Do you think with Bismack there was any sense of intimidation at all?
No, I don't think that's we weren't intimidated. It's just I thought we were just flat. We just came out flat, and I don't know if we looked at Charlotte's record, and we have no right to do that. And we didn't come out and play with the same sense of urgency that we have in the past few games.
There is Dwayne Casey, head coach of the Toronto Raptors, addressing the media about a half hour ago here at the arena following the Raptors' 98-91 loss to the Charlotte Bobcats in the seven-game home stand for the Toronto Raptors, Jonesy, now sitting at 1-5 with one left next week, next Wednesday.
Yeah, some time off.
A long break here, and maybe that's the best thing for the Raptors, but at the same time, you look down, 9-23, and you're one game away
from the halfway
point.
Yeah, yeah. And the home record, I think, is the biggest thing, Eric. I mean, they won six games on the road all of last year. They got five right now. But the home record after tonight drops to 4-11. You know, you look back, I mean, there are some teams that came in here that, again, you should never count on a win. But when Sacramento comes in as part of a back-to-back, even though it's your back-to-back-to-back, it's your gym, it's your house. You know, Charlotte comes in here, takes one from you. You know, don't expect that, you know, you're going to beat Boston or, you know, a San Antonio, but you get Boston. That should be a bonus compared to, you know, a game like Charlotte or Sacramento that you would expect would be a win.
Thanks, everybody, that got in on the lines this evening. Appreciate all the phone calls, and thanks again to Zach Cooper for doing the work down in the locker room as well, and hearing from head coach Dwayne Casey. Thanks to Aston Duport, and back at Raptor Central, I think it was Matt Brown tonight, I think, or Mark Boffo.
Mark Boffo. Mark
and Derek Brandeis.
And Derek, yeah.
Holding it down, the crew, Tom Young as well, as we'll get now a bit of a break. We've had a lot of these shows over the last 10 days or so.
And that's fine. I like talking to the fans.
Not a problem at all.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. We haven't had a chance to do it too often this year until we finally got home during this homestand. We'll do it again next Wednesday and, of course, next Thursday, the Hoop Show at 7 o'clock as well. Raptors tonight losing to the Charlotte Bobcats 98-91. It's been The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.